Amen. Thank you for your obedience, Danielle. Appreciate that. This is it's an interesting thing being up here and doing this week after week. And it's hard to, and I suppose we're never really supposed to understand or have a formula for what works, what doesn't. And you stand up, and it doesn't matter how organized or prepared I am on any given Sunday or day that I share. There are days when it just flows, and you go, wow. I stand back and go, that was amazing, you know. Because it's just, and you all know that feeling when it's just flowing through you. You know it's not you that you're, it just flows. And there's other times when you're all dressed up and ready to go, and you just crash, you know, just hit that wall. And it's so elusive, it's hard to comprehend. At any given time, condemnation, all kinds of stuff can fall in, set in. And I've been able to walk in this grace for the most part. Last Sunday, by the time I left church, I was so crashed. It just, this thing settled on me. Our whole drive to Wasion, which is on the other side of Toledo, the whole evening, I'm fighting off this, like I did something wrong, like there was this quenching grieving. And there's a possibility on any given day of our lives that we've quenched the spirit and not known what the heck we did, you know, like we grieved him or did something that was more us than him. So I never really knew what it was, but I knew that feeling is just, it's just so strong. It comes, and you do your best to just walk things out and then process those things and ask the Lord, did I do something wrong? Like, was there something I missed? Which in all sincerity, it's very possible. It's like there are times when we can step to the left and we were to step to the right, and it was you're not paying attention. And so I'm definitely at that level with the Lord. Like, I don't need patronized by him. I want to get it right. I want to do it right. And I'd rather live in this place where I'm aware of his affirming me, and then other times like that wasn't right, that wasn't whatever. So I don't have an understanding of it. I just know, I just appreciate the prayer. I said all that to say I appreciate the prayer, because I don't talk about this too often. And you just never know when that thing hits. And when it hits, I'll tell you what, it's just, wow, it's just weird. And so I need prayer. I stand up here by grace every time I stand up here, or just my whole leadership role here in general. It's a real opportunity for a lot of condemnation to creep in. And so, so I need prayer. We need cover. We need to cover each other on any given day. You're never, even when you're doing well, we still are totally, I'm totally dependent on his grace and his favor showing up. If I don't have that, it doesn't matter how long or what my history is. If I don't have that, I am in trouble. I never speak or share function out of anything from the past. Like I'm either walking in it or I'm not. It either flows or I'm in trouble. So I feel that every time I prepare a message or get ready. And so turn with me to First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. So it's never a bad thing to say, wow, I need grace, continual grace. I need prayer. I'm not whining. I'm just saying I need prayer because I know I need prayer. I need covered. I need lifted up, as we all do. So 1 Thessalonians, I hope I said that right. Yes, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. And I'm going to talk about the simple thing of thanksgiving. And I was inspired by a book that I told you all I'm reading that's 10, 11 years old by Bill Johnson, called Strengthening Yourself in the Lord. And it's a simple book, but nothing that Bill Johnson says is simple. It all is so weighty. You know, one sentence and you're like, that's that Selah. There should be a Selah after almost all of his phrases in parrot. You go, think on this for the rest of the week, you know, that kind of stuff. So not trying to parrot that, but I just was inspired by his by this chapter, by this section of the book. And it was this thing, the bigger subject is how to strengthen yourself in the Lord. We all need to develop that. Do you know you need to learn to do that? You cannot depend on the people around you. You can't depend on the church. Sometimes we're flat. Now what, you know? The dependency is the Lord, developing a secret place, developing a place where you can talk to him, and not leaning on friends, family. We definitely love our covenant relationships, don't we? They're very important to us. The accountability we have, walking with people, walking with each other, connecting with our giftings so that we're connected. All that's very, very important. However, as individuals, you need to learn how to strengthen yourself in the Lord. And it's like, yeah, you do. And when you're down, you need to learn how, and when you're off, you need to learn how to process that. You need to learn how to go to him and get strengthened again, get renewed, get refreshed. So that's something that you practice. That's something that you learn how to do. And so one of the elements of that is being thankful. And as I was reading this, some things just jumped off the page at me. Some scriptures jumped off the page at me, actually. And I went, whoa. You know that thing we do all the time? We pray for our meals. We bless our meals. And as soon as something feels religious to me, I'm like struggling with it, you know? And so if we're even praying for our meals and it's religious, like it's just what you should do, but you don't have convictions or direct, then I'm like, why am I doing this? I have this conflict because I like to function in knowing something is what the Lord's saying to do, having conviction about why I'm doing something. So we'll come to that scripture in just a moment. I got ahead of myself a little bit, but let's look at this scripture. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So number one, we have a lot of questions about what the will of God is for our lives. Yes? Do I buy the red car? Do I buy the blue car? Do I buy the house on this street or do I buy the house on that street? Do I live in this town or do I live in Nashville? Or should I live in Michigan or should I stay in Michigan? All my kids are leaving Michigan, should I say? I'm just saying. Some. What's the percentage that's there and that is gone? Is it, it's changing? I'm trying to remember where everybody's at. So anyways, we have, you know, what job to take? What am I going to be when I grow up? All those questions and what's the will of God for my life? And it's interesting. Here is the answer to that. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. That is the will of God for your life. And we minimize that. Well, yeah, that's just that scripture in Thessalonians. No, that is the will of God for your life. And when you capture that and you get in that, then the other things don't matter nearly as much, except that the Lord's specifically saying something. You need to walk in obedience. But it comes to this, we really need a mindset change. Like, what's the will of God for my life? The will of God for your life is to rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. That if you do that, you're gonna be well on your way to accomplishing the will of God. So you realize this thankful thing, we just sang that song. We're singing that. I'm like, oh, how appropriate. I'm gonna share on this today. How did we know? Funny, you'd think I'd be up there picking songs, but often we do as a team and a group, and a lot of things come into play. So, you know, the song list is just always, you know, it's interesting. And thankfulness and living in thankfulness, it's very powerful. It's a very, very powerful thing. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, Now, Now, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits. Verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. And then let me just finish this. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Now, the context is that there was a lot of controversy, conflict, question, sincere concern about where did that meat come from that's at the supermarket? Some of us still have that concern, you know. What did these cows eat before they ended up in my, you know, the local butcher shop? But theirs was it sacrificed to idols first, then sold at the market, or is this just a normal cow that got butchered by the local farmer, you know? And there's a big thing about that. Like, hey, don't shop over there, because that meat over there, it was sacrificed to idols first, and then it was put on in the market, and we shouldn't be eating that stuff if it was sacrificed to idols. And I get the logic of it. Do you get the logic of that? I mean, we have that, those kind of things. I could get caught up in that even today, like where some things come from, you know. Just because of, you know, the association, and we can be these people that start walking through life, and now we're back to Old Testament where we're afraid of the leper instead of the leper being afraid, or the disease of leprosy being afraid of me. In the New Testament and in the Old Testament, you know, don't touch the lepers. In the New Testament, the leper gets healed because it touches the believer. It's different. It cut Jesus' hands. So there's this paradigm shift in that. And so the same with things offered to idols or whatever. And you realize this scripture, what you eat is literally what you take as an, and we're using this as an example. It's a big example and it applies to everything. You sanctify what you're partaking of or what you're using. Let's say you just bought a car and you found out through the grapevine where that car had been. I mean, a car can be a good thing. I just said this to Cynthia this morning. Car can be a good thing or can be a bad thing. You know, the pastor drives a car. The drug dealer drives a car. I mean, you know. So is the car bad? No, the car's neutral. And so you have a car and you go, I think this drug dealer had this car before I bought it, but it was in good shape and whatever, you know. What do I do? Give thanks for it. Sanctify it. And that's how powerful Thanksgiving is. And all of a sudden, it'll change your attitude about what you eat. Concerned about Ebola, E. coli, whatever it is where, you know. Bless that romaine lettuce. And no worries, mate. I mean, honestly. It's that powerful if we'll get our faith to the level of believing the word of God, not just a, you know, this is the scripture, everything. And so the instruction with them about this meat in this example was don't worry about it. Everything is good. Every creature of God is good. It's for nothing. It's not to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. So our main goal, and I'm so guilty of this, we go to pray. We have a group of people. We're going to pray for the meal. Pastor, pray for the meal, you know. I go all over the place. And the funny thing is I always forget to pray for the food. Have you all noticed that? Like, I'm not the person to pick because I forget about the food. And I start, thank you, Lord, for this gathering and this and that. You know, I go all over the place and forget that over and over again. But our food truly, it's to be received with thanksgiving. Father, I thank you. And we were talking about the Lord's Prayer. And in that, we're to give thanks for our daily bread. As Americans, we don't think we should have to. We get quite independent, don't we? And the Lord's Prayer instructs you, stay humble, give thanks, ask for your daily bread. You go, well, I know where it's coming from tomorrow. Ask for it anyways. Because in a moment, in a heartbeat, that can be gone. You have it because of God's kindness, not because you deserve it. There are other people that don't have it. And so when we understand this aligns us and keeps us in this healthy place. It keeps us sane when we give thanks. When we ask in the first place, and we give thanks. Hey, good thing you guys made it. Like, yeah. Yeah, you're welcome. Anytime. Come early, come late. It's all good. We're going to give thanks for you, so it's, you know. Okay. See? What's up with that? Wow, how good is that? Darren and Lori just got sanctified, so. We received you with thanksgiving. No one else here was received with thanksgiving today. I just want you to understand that. So, you got a privilege. Now, all of you are going to be late. Think about this. You know that car that keeps giving you a fit? Have you given thanks for it? The washing machine, the whatever, the children that are giving you a fit, have you given thanks for them? Have you sanctified? It changes everything because we can be such complainers and moaners and, you know, life has got to be perfect or we're protesting. We're not. Can you believe that? They didn't wait on me the right way. Can you believe it? They didn't answer my call. Can you believe that? You know, and we're like all miffed about all kinds of little imperfections in life. It's like, yeah, do without it. Don't like the roads here? Go to India for just a little short trip. You'll come back and you'll kiss our roads that have a few potholes. Real story. Honestly, you will. My favorite thing on a trip to India was when we first got there with Phyllis and Ashley and I when we went on a trip, and I was in this vehicle as we, you know, it's still dark out. We got there in the middle of the night. We're going to a hotel, and I remember just kind of turning around and watching her face as we began to drive in traffic in India, and you just look out the front window going, it's that scary. It's, yeah. A ride, scariest ride at Cedar Point, go to India. Yeah. Do you want a thrill? Yeah. So we can be so ungrateful. And then for us as believers to begin to realize, and Phyllis has been, Phyllis has been just really paying attention to this lately, like shout, rejoice. And I'm like, gosh, she does this at home. And, you know, in the morning, I'm not awake yet. And she's like, oh, Lord, she's sitting over there on the couch in the living room. I'm like, wow, you know, I get up early, but it still takes me a couple hours to really come, you know, get dialed into any emotion or expression. She's like up and she's good to go. But she's been paying attention to this. We need to shout. And it's the hardest thing to do when you don't feel like it. It's just the hardest thing. Need to rejoice, but rejoice, that first scripture. Pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. That's a full-time job right there. That's pretty much, you probably won't even have time for some of your phone calls, and definitely not for Facebook or Instagram or whatever consumes your time. I see a little notice on my Instagram app on my phone. I'm like, oh, I don't even want to open that. Because it's going to be this, then I got to see this, then I got to sell that. You know, it takes time, which is good, and that's fine. However, you know what I'm saying. And we can go through our whole time, our whole day, busy, coming, running to and fro, and not practicing giving thanks, and not doing that, and be worried and concerned. And that, when... about the moment you get depressed, worried, or really concerned, it's because you've fallen out of thankfulness. I know. Easier to take pills for it, but really. It's this is where we lose it. This is where we allow things to pull us off. And there's a power if we just give thanks for things and just practice that. It actually sanctifies things. It dedicates things. Our stuff should all belong to the Lord. It should all be sanctified because we gave thanks for it. I just want you to go home and think about this now. What if the scripture's right and it's that powerful? Because anything, even food sacrificed to idols, I mean, like, that's kind of creepy. But if you just give it, receive it with thanksgiving, just receive it with thanksgiving, it is now set apart to the kingdom. And whatever it was before, it's not now. Whatever it was before, it's not now. How far can we take this? I don't know. Open up your minds. Open up your, horizons. Look and see what is possible with our ability to give thanks and what will change if we will give thanks. Turn with me to James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So in James, this admonition to give thanks, this admonition to count everything joy, it is an interpretation. I mean, it can easily be interpreted as giving thanks for things, even the trials, even the difficulties. Because in those, and when you start to give thanks for them, when you start to rejoice in the midst of those things, you will, the real side effect is that you will start to enhance the presence of God. And actually, this is what we want. When the presence of God, the manifest presence of God, gets stirred up on you, in you, over you, doesn't matter, you can use all those terms apply, the stuff really dissipates. And I've experienced, and many of you have experienced the presence of the Lord at a lot of different levels in different situations. And this I know. When that's happening and I'm really aware of God, I'm really aware of His presence, the stuff just fades. I don't make myself forget it. It just goes away. It just fades. It just isn't powerful anymore. If we're around things that cause us to fear and lose our confidence and lose hope, then I would just encourage you, find ways to change that up a little bit. Stop listening, stop walking, watching, turn away, avoid being around that if it's pulling you down, and get to a place where your meditation, where God is getting bigger than your problems. And consciously do that. When you give thanks and you remember all the things that He has done, it's the simplest exercise. You sit around thinking all the time anyways. So it's just a matter of, are you going to think about what you don't have? Are you going to give thanks for what you do have and what the Lord has done? Are you going to be totally depressed and consumed because you don't think God's going to do something, or you haven't seen Him do it yet? And this, you have the same opportunity right there in that moment to sit and meditate more on what He has done. Meditate more on what he's done for you, and how He's led you, and how He's guided you. And if you don't have enough information on yourself, enough testimony on yourself, then move into the testimony of other people and Scripture and God's promises to His people. But just thinking about that and meditating on that, or rehearsing that and thinking about that, pull away till God gets bigger than this stuff. You just have to. You can make an excuse to not do that, but nothing will change. You can be, it's like, okay, no, all I can see is what's wrong now. Okay. But it won't change. It's not going to help you. Do you want help? Or do you want to sink with the ship? What more can you say? It's a choice about where we go when we're asked, when we're in need, we're in that place. Where can you go? And you can go here. You can consciously go here to give thanks, to rejoice, and practice, make this the practice of your life. Thankfulness can become a lifestyle. I'm not where I want to be in this, but oh my gosh, I've come so far. This is the value. We can move right into declarations. We can move right into the fact that you are the delegated authority on the planet as a believer. And going back to our primary call and purpose, we were to subdue the earth. We were to be fruitful and to multiply. In other words, this is yours. Grow it. Make it. Watch over it. Take charge. You are the ones the Father leaves. He puts us on the planet and in our position to watch over this. And so you have authority with a delegated authority, and when you give thanks as the delegated authority, you can sanctify things to the Lord and change them. This is about waiting for the sons of God to wake up. It's about that all of creation groans, waiting for the manifest sons and daughters of God to show up on the planet, to show up like who you really are, and to be in that position. And you go, oh, I don't know if I can do that. Can you give thanks? That's why I'm taking time with this. Can you be thankful? Can you choose to be thankful? I'm not feeling it. Be thankful anyways. It's kind of like forgiveness. I don't feel like forgiving. I'm not feeling forgiveness. Forgiveness is a choice. You choose to forgive. Well, don't pay as much attention to the feelings as you do to the action of obedience. And when you choose these things, when you choose thankfulness, you may not at first feel a lot better. I'm telling you, if you understand, if I can stir up something in your heart to the power of this thing and what it can change, whether it's praying for your simple meal in front of you, or whether it's giving thanks for such bigger situations, your job, where you live, what you do, give thanks. Be a thankful person. It is so powerful. It affects other people. Other people will approach you and try, and it's just people. It's our nature. And they may, they have enough of an ability to converse with you to get you to, ask you, oh, look at that. Look at that. Isn't this a bad situation? Isn't that whatever? And there are ways. I told you, I'm always when I'm out, when I'm at a store, when I'm in a situation, there's almost every time I go out, there's an opportunity to just calm things the heck down. To just say something good in a bad situation, and it can change the atmosphere immediately. Just being thankful. Just acknowledging. Excuse me. Just acknowledging that there's goodness, that we're okay. It's taken a few moments at the cash register. It's good. I feel peaceful. Nothing's falling apart right now. I'm good. Let's take a breath. Let's just breathe. Let's smile at each other, It's good. It's okay. Let's take a moment to connect, And this rush and this drive, and thank goodness it's better here than it is some places. It matters so much that you take a moment to smile, that you're grateful, that you're thankful. If a person that is ungrateful can affect you, and they do, then let's realize we actually have the greater power when we are grateful, when we are thankful. And the Psalms are just full of this thankfulness, this praise to the Lord. When you realize this, puts you in the right position with the Lord. Whining doesn't put you in a great position with the Lord. Just saying. You can do it. You can do that. Do your negotiating. Your let's make a deal. God, if you do this, I'll do that. You probably won't get lightning bolts over that, but I'm telling you, there's a better way. Do you like your children whining to you or manipulating or approaching you in that way? No. You like them just straight out, you know, asking what they need. And if you say no, they may even be disappointed, but there's a way to, you know, kids are cute when they go, you know, like, that's not what I wanted to hear. But they're just, now, if they go into a full-blown temper tantrum or whine or pound, for, then you're like, now I got to deal with that. Deal with attitudes, you know. Your Father in heaven's no different. Approach him directly. Talk to him, and being thankful, it lines you up. It's so important that you do that. It's so important that just you're grateful, that you're thankful to him. It's interaction. It's good stuff. We have to learn how to talk to each other, don't we? Men to women, women to men, old to young, young to, you know. There are things you do in conversation, there are things you don't. And if you're wise, you'll learn what works and what doesn't work. And if we're wise, we'll learn how to interact with our Father. And being grateful and being thankful, and we just add into that rejoicing and praying, being in that presence, it opens up doors. It opens up things. I often talk about this. What happens the moment you wake up in the morning? What is your conversation? What happens there? It's very important to pay attention to that. It can make or break your whole day. What are your first meditations? What are your first thoughts? And if you, from the moment you awaken, that you connect with the Lord, doesn't have to be long drawn out. But I would encourage you, from the moment I wake up, I begin having relation. I awaken to my relationship with my Father. And I meditate, and I do it carefully. I do it in a way that I'm paying attention, and it's almost like being creative, because this relationship is living between you and your Father, and all of us, here's the beauty of this, we all have these unique ways of relating to him, and that's good. He doesn't want you to do exactly what I do. He doesn't want me to do what you do, or the language, or the whatever, other than these key parts, but to relate and draw near to him. And this you want to get that heaviness off of you, that worry, that concern, this whatever you carry. We all carry something. Whatever you want to get that off of you, come into his presence. Tap in, investigate, research, experiment. I don't care what term you use, but find what opens this thing up. Because if you get that opened up and there's a flow and your Father's pleased with you, I mean, wow. Everything changes. Everything changes. Do you encourage the people around you in a good way to give thanks? You know, give them a moment to whine about something or moan or whatever. Like, you know, and then I begin to remind them, you know, if I'm really close to people, I really, you know, really get into, if they've given me a little bit of a rant about what's going on, I just give them a little bit of a rant about how spoiled they are. How can they deny it? They know it's the truth. How many good things are actually in your life? So you spilled the milk, whatever, okay? Get over it, you know? So your hair didn't turn out good today. I know you women think that's the end of the world, but it you know, you'll live another day. Isn't it funny? The little things that happen that we just crash over. And thankfulness breaks that and coming before the Lord, giving things over to him and giving things up to him. So how can you practice that? How can you apply that? I'm wondering, how can you make application to step into more thankfulness, gratefulness, to be a, I love this because it's so simple. We all know what this is, don't we? We all know. It's a matter of choosing whether we'll do that. And to give thanks in some of your difficult situations when you're not especially feeling thankful for it, those are the best tests. Those may be the most powerful things. Things you're worried about, things you're conflicted about, to start to give thanks for it. Stop paying so much attention to what you don't have and start paying attention to what you do have and what the Lord's given you and the people he's actually put in your life. It changes things. It opens up doors. It opens up so much. Bless you, Lord. I don't want to ramble on about this. Father, in Jesus' name, we just want to give our day to you and just thank you. Even for the beautiful snow, the slippery roads, and our warm building, and all that you do for us. Father, I ask today that you just give instruction about how we can create and make this come to a bigger level, higher level of power release. Father, the hope that we can set things apart for you. Just the hope that we can sanctify things. That something that wasn't sanctified before can now be sanctified just because we gave thanks for it and received it with thanksgiving. So, Father, what we receive that we take for granted, I repent for that. We are so spoiled. We do receive so much that we don't even pay attention to. And I don't want to be guilty of that. I want to come to a place where I just am grateful, genuinely grateful for what I have. It changes my attitude. It changes the atmosphere. It can change the atmosphere at school. It can change the atmosphere at work. It can change the atmosphere in my household. It can change the atmosphere wherever I go because I am the delegated authority on this planet. We look at men that have positions and titles, but the real authority on this earth are the believers, the sons and daughters of God. And regardless of how much we have and how smart we are, how educated we are, what position we may have in the world, we are your designated authorities to call down what is in heaven to earth by our declaration because we have a connection because we are your sons. We are your daughters. And you left us in charge. You've given us this authority in the name of Jesus. So, Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you've done, for all that you give, for all that you've done, for all that you give. Let's take some time this morning to wait on the Lord. Yes, please, that's what I said.
I'd just like to share something real quick. I felt like this was a really right-on word, and it was a very good word. And just this week, I'm going to throw out something that was just kind of adding to this that helped me, because it was, I mean, him and I didn't even talk about what he was sharing, so, so I had no clue what he was going to share. But I heard something this week, and it was on these lines about giving thanks. And they said it takes a portion of faith when you don't feel that way. And I thought about that because I'm often challenged daily with whatever I'm caught up into that takes me away from giving thanks, because that's what we do. We just get caught up with everyday life. We could all walk out of this room today with saying, I'm ready to give thanks, and wake up tomorrow morning and have the first thing that hits us in the face and not feel that way. And I'm a person who feels like I'm a phony if I'm giving thanks or I'm being being kind to someone when I feel like the opposite of that. And I think a lot of us are challenged with that because we feel like phonies. But I heard someone say this week that you're applying faith when you when you're being kind, when you're being thankful. It's applying faith of what you believe the Father is saying. What pleases the Father? Faith.
Yep.
It's really that simple. It's really simple. When I heard that, I went, that's really freeing. I'm applying faith when I'm at my Dollar General and someone comes in and asks me, how are you doing today? And I'm applying faith. And I know that sounds corny, but it's the truth,
you know?
It's like, no, I'm going to apply being kind. I might not feel like it that morning because who knows what, you know, whatever is in my face to deal with. I felt like I just want to add that to that. Yep.
That's really good.
It's faith.
It is. It is. That's good. Yeah. And was it Cindy Vincent that had that scripture that this morning, Psalms 86? 98.6. I had some of the numbers right. But it's so appropriate. Like Phyllis said, we keep getting, like, every Sunday for 4 weeks, there's this true prophetic word about shouting, rejoicing, giving thanks. Like, it's all in this, like, this admonition to do that. And so there's a grace to do it, too. That's happening. Like, we're doing it. We got this word. We're getting this direction, this simple thing, and it's happening. It's happening in quiet places. But it is happening. And there's something that breaks when you do that shout, and it's the most valuable when it's not a moment that feels like you should. You know, like, I'm not feeling this at all. You know, those are tough. But if there's a heaviness, it needs broken. And this thing Kenny said is so true. We feel like we're hypocrites if we do that, but we're feeling the opposite. Like, I'm real. I'm not going to act like things are good if they're not, you know. And that's true. We don't ever want to be phony. We don't want to put that on. I've been around that kind of Christianity, and I don't like it. But to genuinely to do it, we can say it's tough right now, but I'm going to shout. So it's a whole different thing. You're acknowledging it. You're doing it in faith. And because we understand this, then you're definitely not being a hypocrite. You're exercising something. You're like, I'm doing this to break that thing, to break that oppression, to break that thing over my family, to break that thing over the atmosphere, to break that thing. And changes begin to take place. And wow. Anybody else?